The holiday shopping season is in full swing. Major stores reported disappointing revenues over Thanksgiving, so you can be sure they're competing furiously for your Christmas dollars. My guest today dissects how shoppers shop and advises stores in how they can lure you in and make you buy. Paco Underhill is a retail anthropologist and the founder and president of EnviroCell, a retail consulting firm whose clients include McDonald's, Kmart, and Hewlett-Packard. He and his colleagues have videotaped hour after hour of people shopping. What they've found is that most shoppers turn to the right when they enter a store, and most people won't notice the merchandise in the front of a store, which Underhill calls the decompression zone. And then there's the butt brush theory.
Let me explain. I'm up at a counter, I'm looking at ties. I know that in order to purchase a tie, I need 45 seconds worth of peace. If I have somebody brushing me from the rear, the chances of my having that 45 second of peace are significantly less. And therefore, I tend to come, look, and move on rather than have the time to be able to make that selection.
Now, does it just amount to that, that we don't like risking getting our derrieres brushed? Or is it a kind of an inter-animal space issue?
It's an inter-animal space, and you have to understand it's not just humans. It's generally mammals tend to be sensitive to being approached from the rear.
Do we shop by touch? Is that something that you found in your videos, that people handle sweaters and shirts the way they choose ripe fruit in supermarkets?
You know, we like to pet, and it's something we've actually tracked the number of times something has to be touched before it's bought here. We call it a product conversion ratio, and it's amazing the number of fingerprints that are on stuff on the floor of stores here. Do you know that a typical lipstick has to be handled by 8 people before it's bought? Isn't that enough to make you want to spray it with Lysol before you stick it in your purse?
Oh, that is really disturbing. And that brings me to something else that I think maybe you've noticed in videos. I've seen people, and perhaps it's mostly women, circle around something they're interested in a store, like an animal circling its prey.
I think it's interesting, both that factor. The other is that sales tend to come in strings. And let's say we have a perfume display at Neiman Marcus, and there are 12 sales that happen off that display over the course of an hour. What happens is that those 12 sales all come in little strings. One person sees somebody shopping, and as soon as that person leaves, they come up because they're curious. I mean, we are an intensely curious species about what other people are seeing or doing. And that circling phenomenon is often, I like to think of it as a sort of devil and angel in somebody's head. You know, the angel is going, just, you know, listen, just take a look and walk on by. And the devil is going, ooh, let's go take a look. That looks pretty nice.
Let's talk about positioning of a store. I thought it was interesting that you found that people tend to ignore stores that are placed next to federal buildings or post offices or banks or other non-retail establishments that don't have windows, obviously, with items in them to look at. Because their eye doesn't go back to perusing windows until a certain number of feet after they pass the bank or the post office. Did you figure this out also from videotape?
This is been a well-documented piece of information that actually predates my days as a researcher. But the premise is simply that as somebody walks past a bank or an airline office or a dull street front window, their pace tends to speed up. And that since they aren't visually engaged with a window, once they pass that dull storefront, it takes them a little time to slow their pace back down and for their peripheral vision to expand, which is the reason why a good commercial real estate manager or a good city manager will think about the positionings of different types of businesses on a street in a way that they don't hurt each other.
How do men and women differ in how they shop?
Couple of things here. I think, first of all, let's just take the grocery store. Men seem to extract more pleasure out of the grocery store than women do. And I think most spouses will argue that when they send their husband off to the grocery store to do the family shopping, that they spend more time, they spend more money, and they get more extraneous stuff. We also know that men often, in certain product or retail categories, tend to be more buyers than shoppers. If I, as a male, walk into Victoria's Secret, I'm not there to visit a temple of sensuality. I'm there, I'm probably embarrassed, but I'm there because I have something that I'd like to buy, but I'm not quite sure what. In general, it's a good idea from the store's perspective. If you see a man walk into a lingerie section, serve him quickly and try to trade him up. He'll probably spend more money than he thought. He needs some help. He'd like to walk out the door pretty quickly and preferably take something away in a plain brown bag. Okay? If I go to the printer aisle at CompUSA, if a woman walks in, she's not there because she's just read a piece in PC Magazine, generally. She's not there to visit a temple of technology. She's there because women are the largest emerging entrepreneurial class in America. They are there because they need a technology. They're not there often with the fascination for tools. And yet the level of service that a woman gets walking into a computer store here is significantly less than a man gets. Yet they convert at a higher ratio. They are willing to listen, but they need to walk out with a product in their hands because it's something that's driven.
My guest is Paco Underhill. He's the president and founder of EnviroCell, and that's a company that offers consulting services to retail stores about how people shop. Let's talk now about the senior citizen consumer group. You say that that is the biggest consumer population now that stores aren't targeting correctly, besides women, I assume. How should they target senior citizens, or how should their approach be different to attract senior citizens rather than the middle-aged or families or men or the rest of the consumer world?
I think the issue here is not just the issue of seniors. The issue is understanding that America's consumer base is aging, period, and that at 45 I don't consider myself a senior. And yet many of the same issues that seniors are concerned with increasingly affect me.
Like what?
For example, nobody is going to go broke going into the 21st century, assuming a lot of us should be wearing our reading glasses and aren't. That's theme one. Theme two is recognizing that if you're a store that a chair is no longer an amenity, it's a marketing tool. That if I and my significant other walk into the Limited and she has a place to comfortably plant me, she becomes a much more effective shopper because she knows I'm comfortable. I'm not going, honey, you know, can we leave now? You know, I've got nothing to do.
Let's talk about kids and shopping and especially parents with kids trying to shop. I've noticed here in Philadelphia there's a store, IKEA, which has a place where you can park your kids for half an hour while you go and shop. And they're well, pretty well cared for, I hope. Now, I've made more ill-considered snap-buys because I had to frantically fit all the shopping into just 30 minutes. It's like playing beat the clock. And it seems like a brilliant idea. I'm surprised there aren't more stores of that size who've caught on to that.
One of the things about the changing dynamics of the American family is that as more family, as there are more families where both mother and father work, we have noticed the trend over the past 10 years that we're taking our kids to a greater variety of places. And I would argue that this is not just true at places like IKEA, but I can remember trying to get across to senior officials at a major California bank that 12% of the bodies walking in the door at a typical suburban bank are under age 7. And that if you haven't included some form of child-proofing criteria to your furniture selection, you're being foolish. But this issue of child-proofing a retail environment or thinking about children on the floor of a store is something that we as American retailers aren't always doing the best possible job. For example, in France and in Italy, many grocery stores and mass merchandisers or hypermarkets provide kid-sized shopping carts, which is in effect teaching the kids to become good consumers. But it also gives them something to do here. They have something, you know, to push as they move through the store. We're dealing with another problem here in the U.S. as it relates to kids, is that unlike France and Germany, we are often unwilling to leave our kids in the care of a stranger, and that as successful as IKEA is, there are many American, you know, families where the basic level of paranoia as it relates to their children is still very high.
Is it still a mystery to you what people buy and why people buy what they do or what they look for in shopping? And I'm thinking that there are all sorts of theories that are, I guess, half in jest about how shopping for us today is what hunting and gathering was for us back in prehistoric time.
Well, let's be cognizant of two things. First, we are a social species, and that shopping has always been the opportunity that we've used since our time as hunters and gatherers simply to look at each other. And that's a lot of what drives us to the marketplace, whether we're in Papua New Guinea or at the local Newport Mall. On the other hand here, there is damn little at this point in our lives that we actually need. And that the reason we're out there in a commercial environment is to enjoy ourselves and to have a certain entertainment. And I think it's no irony as we move into the 21st century that more and more retailers are focused on our pleasure in shopping. That the rise of the Disney store or Nike Town or the new Paramount store about to open in Chicago is all focused on, you know, how can I give somebody a pleasurable experience from the moment I walk in the door.
Paco Underhill is the founder and president of EnviroCell, a retail consulting firm.